So for our weekly food segment today, we're going to look at the fall of Rome, the collapse of the Mayan Empire, and whether or not we're headed for the same fate. A new book out called Empires of Food talks about how food empires fail when crops don't grow and the soil dries up and climate shifts, but the population keeps growing and consuming more food than it can produce. Joining us now, the authors of Empires of Food, Evan Fraser, a professor of geography who specializes in agriculture, and Andrew Remus, a journalist and the managing editor of The Improper Bostonian. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Celeste.
First, I want you both to explain in the plainest language you can use the theory that you have connecting the fall of Rome, let's start with Rome, to the crash, the collapse of their food structure. How does that work?
Well, Evan, would you like to field this one?
Sure. I mean, the simplest way of thinking about it is Rome and the other civilizations we looked at made three mistakes. They grew very large when the weather cooperated with them over long periods of time. They grew very large because they extracted surplus food because the soils were very good and they were clearing new land. And they grew very large because they allowed farmers to specialize to produce the things they produce well. Fertile soil eventually blows away. Climates, notwithstanding human-induced changes, climates change. And specialized farmers are vulnerable to pests and droughts.
Well, and you also connect this to the fall of the Mayan civilization.
Yes.
Yeah, and you draw parallels also with the Black Plague in 1345.
Yeah. So in the lead-up to every single one of those cases that you're talking about, populations rose, land was cleared, landscapes became very specialized, and all that happened during periods of time when the climate cooperated. A period of time that overlapped with the Black Plague was a period of time when the medieval warm period slowly gave way to the Little Ice Age. The Roman warm period slowly gave way to the period after the Roman Empire fell, that it was much, much cooler. And similarly, the Mayan civilization declined at exactly a time when there was serious century-long droughts that hit the Yucatan Peninsula.
Okay, that's Evan Fraser. He's one of the authors of Empires of Food. Andrew Remus is the other one. Andrew, explain, you see parallels between those civilizations, those crashes that occurred, and what's going on in the United States today.
Indeed, we do. We believe to a large degree that we've fixed a lot of the problems that we've had with agriculture historically, namely by the invention of artificial fertilizer and modern technology, new strains of crops, new strains of seeds. We seem to have fixed, really overcome all of the previous limits that were set on agriculture. So we have this miraculous bounty that's created by science. It would seem, therefore, that all the lessons of the past can be quickly swept aside. But that's really not the case because, again, it's a question of resources. Much of our modern agriculture is fueled by the use of fossil fuels. We need fossil fuels to create the modern fertilizers we use in our fields. And in order to sustain a population of 6 billion people on the planet, soon to grow to 9 billion, we do rely very heavily on energy and water, of course. So what we're looking at going forward is a different type of problem for our food empire than previous empires have had. The nature of the problem isn't tremendously different. Again, it's a problem of inputs and resources, but the result, we believe, could very well be similar.
Okay, well, that's kind of frightening. Evan Fraser, explain to me, you know, it seems odd to me to read about a society that's consuming more food than it produces when it feels like we have an overabundance. People throw away food all the time. You go to the restaurants and they give you enormous proportions. The grocery stores are filled with food and they have to get rid of food that doesn't sell before it expires.
Yeah, that's because we're existing on the illusion of bounty. We're existing on food that is being produced currently under relatively good climatic conditions with abundant sources of energy and water. But we know the sources of energy aren't abundant in the long term. We know that the water is drying up, and we fully expect the climate to change a bit. As a result, we fully expect that the bounty of the last 50 years may not continue into the next 50 years.
So, Evan Fraser, this book reads a bit like, and I mean this as a compliment, Guns, Germs, and Steel, where technological and fortuitous resources create huge sort of historical changes. Do you see sort of food-related pivot points where, say, wheat was chosen when maybe corn would have completely changed destiny? I mean, is agriculture destiny here?
Yeah, I think the production of surplus food, i.e. more food than the farmers themselves need, is the most fundamental precondition of a complex society such as the ones that you and I live in today. And it also is the underlying foundation of the Roman Empire or the Mayan Empire. All major civilizations require that. Now, where you get that surplus from is really critical. And generally, we've got it from grain plants. Some societies get it from potato, have gotten it historically from potatoes. Ours is grain. And so if we stop being able to produce that surplus of grain because we run out of water, because fossil fuels become expensive, because the sun doesn't shine quite as nicely as it has over the last 50 years, then we are going to find ourselves facing a radically different kind of society. Our society will have to shift significantly.
Andrew Remus, you cite these examples of failed civilizations that obviously are standing as a warning to those of us who are living now. But were there some who faced these issues? Were there some societies that faced these same issues and came away successfully?
Well, I mean, I think in the long term, most societies tend to contract after a period of growth. And one of the points of our book is that this contraction happens because of the food trade and because of agriculture, that the limits of the ability of a society to feed itself result in a pulling back. There have been societies that have very successfully sustained intense populations using agriculture for long periods, but things pretty much inevitably shift backwards at some point. I think that most of the examples we use, they may not have all crashed into immediate chaos and despair, but there has always been a contraction historically. So, for instance, one of the examples we use is the British Empire in the 19th century, where you had a very thriving civilization, but famine struck at two opposite ends of the empire, in Ireland and in southern Asia, in the mid-19th century. And that didn't destroy the British Empire, but it certainly caused a tremendous amount of death and suffering.
Okay, we have a very short period of time, but I found it interesting that the two of you came away with different viewpoints on the future. Andrew Remus, journalist for Improper Bostonian, co-author of Empires of Food, you came away feeling slightly pessimistic. Evan Fraser, professor of geography, co-author of Empires of Food, you came away feeling hope for the future. Are those both valid outcomes? It could go either way?
Well, I grew up on a farm. This is Evan here. I grew up on a farm in southern Ontario, and I quite like living on a farm. And so I don't see the future of more of us living on farms as a bad thing.
Canadians are always optimistic.
Andrew, you're not happy about the idea of living on a farm,
well,
right?
It's nothing I've ever tried before, so I suppose I could give it a shot, but I probably wouldn't be too comfortable, no.
Hey, Andrew, you want to take one of these UFW jobs that they're advertising on the Colbert Report for, what do you think?
Picking berries?
I think that may be a good option going forth, because I'm in journalism, so.
All right, well, we'll sign you up.
Hopefully the book does well and you won't have to do that. Empires of Food is the name of the book. The authors Evan Fraser and Andrew Remus.
Got something to add to this or anything else you've heard this morning? You can reach us by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE. And there's a new way you can weigh in. Text us early. Every afternoon, we'll text you a hot topic for the next day's program and give you a chance to weigh in. Get started by texting the word early to 69866. Get the conversation started with us earlier every day. That's early to 69866. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.